Steve, appreciate that great introduction. The panel. Okay. We are glad to be a part of this, and this is unrehearsed, so we'll be figuring it out as we go. But hopefully there'll be some things that we can share that will be helpful on the topic of the truth about careers. My guess is it is a common topic. We all have had one or more in our lifetime, and maybe there's some perspectives that we can mutually share. I'm Jeff Trotter, and I'm honored to be on the panel with Dempsey Jordan to my far right and Wren Rice right next to me. I'll start with a few words of introduction, then the three of us will give a brief bio of our careers with some hopefully useful observations. And then we will consider some specific questions that we'll discuss together that hopefully will be informative. This may sound like a silly thing to do, but I'll do it anyway. That's never stopped me before. What is the definition of a career? I mean, we're talking about a topic here, so maybe defining our terms is a good thing. It is an occupation or profession, especially requiring special training, followed as one's life's work. Now, each one of us here today, up here and out there where you are, all will share very unique stories and unique paths when it comes to our prospective work careers. But we all share a common posture today. It is one of submission before the throne of God. No matter what the variety of careers that are represented here, there is the commonality that we are all Christian men populating these careers, and how awesome that is, because that in and of itself, maybe we don't think about it as much as we should, but what an amazing evangelistic tool that is into the world. Because the amount of time that we spend in our work life interacting with various other people provides a tremendous opportunity for example and even sometimes some teaching that can help advance the cause of Christ. Sometimes when people ask us questions about who we are, if you're just meeting someone, somebody might ask you the question, "What do you do?" Which really is a rather common question, and it really has a great deal of impact because we are so frequently defined by what we do. And by that, they're asking, what kind of career do you have? And so we might answer, I'm an electrician, I'm a farmer, I'm a banker, I am so on and so forth. And they're, oh, yeah. And so there's some at least nodding familiarity that is built by the answer to that question. But none of these titles fully describe us, do they? Because we are servants of the Most High God. We are a Christian farmer. We are a Christian electrician. We are a Christian banker, and so on and so forth. In order to have a fully successful career here, we have to make some application of otherworldly principles and qualities. My wife spent her career as the head of HR for a Fortune 100 company, and so I've learned a lot over the years just by listening to her. But in all of that, I know how much training went into corporations, jobs, and such. I imagine Wren may have a lot to say about that possibly at some point. But isn't it a shame if we don't enter corporate world or our work world without adequate training? And that has to do with Scripture. To understand right and wrong, to have a basis of honesty, a basis of commitment to godly principles, and then allow those to mesh and intertwine with the particular topic that we are working in. 2 Peter chapter 1, some of these otherworldly principles that can be set forth here. You're familiar with the add to passages, that we're to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Sometimes we use the word call or calling. Some people use it in a rather fanciful sort of way, almost a mystical sort of way. But all of us have certain talents, certain abilities, and therefore we are drawn to maybe a certain work product that we will be engaged in during our lives. And so I really am interested in this, and therefore I'm going to study that, and that's going to be my career. But you know, there is a calling that we all share that should be higher than that. And that's the one talked about here. And so if we're involved in making our calling and election sure as Christian men, then the company or the job that we're engaged in is going to get far better than they even anticipate, because they're going to get somebody who's guided by higher principles than maybe even they would have a right to expect. Another passage briefly in Ephesians. We think about this passage especially as it relates to, and certainly it is the topic of master servants, but I don't think it does a great disservice to the context to make application from an employer-employee perspective. In verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to them. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to them or to men. I want to emphasize that. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, employers, if you will, for our purpose, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, which I think can have a rather wide-ranging application. So let's now share our personal bios very briefly and observations. We'll start with you, Dempsey.
When Brother Tim asked me to speak on this panel, my first thoughts were, really? I will tell you from the get-go, I have never considered myself successful. True success is living our lives and going to heaven. I think Jeff has adequately introduced that point, but that is the summation of this whole series of study, and that's where we need to head our lives, obviously. But I will give you a little bit of a background on me, and I'm often very asked, how is it you got in the jewelry business? And I will often tell people this answer. It first began by flipping hamburgers and dipping ice cream cones, moving on to selling CB radios, and then larger things, that of selling lawnmowers. And I tell you all that because I had various jobs as I was going through ECC State University for 4.5 years. I never did really find what I called my niche or what I was comfortable in doing. And I meant to start this conversation off by saying this. I would be nowhere without my wife, Charlotte. We have been married for 46 years, and she has been such a helpmeet to me and such an encouragement to me. And no matter what I've done, and she encouraged me even in the business that we currently own today, Dempsey's Jewelers. But back to the story of how I got into the business, when we were selling lawnmowers, the gentleman that owned the company in the mid-70s, the price of gold and silver went sky high. And we were buying a lot of gold and silver at the time. He was sending us out and we were buying gold and silver and coming back and selling it to New York. But long story short, a lot of that was jewelry that could be easily fixed or repaired, and I got interested in doing that. So I had the great privilege of being able to work on a lot of pieces of jewelry that didn't belong to anybody. It was going to be sold for scrap. So as I began to play and learn and work and repair on it, it didn't matter if I tore it up. We could just send it on off to New York as scrap. But that was a great interest in me, and that's how I got started in the jewelry business. And when I told my wife, I said, I want to change my career, and I want to learn how to be a jeweler. She was completely supportive of that. And I went on to schools and seminars all over the country, learning all I could for a short period of time, and then began a trade shop where I began to repair jewelry for other jewelry stores in the area. And at one time, myself and another gentleman that was working with me, who was a member of the church, at one time we were doing 17 different jewelry stores, their repair work. So that's how I got started into the jewelry business. But I'm very happy to be able to sit up here and to tell you today that that has helped me in so many ways to be associated with other members of the church who I'm fortunate to work with, not only my wife, but others that work with us. And God has blessed me. And I'll get into some other things as time goes on, but that's how I got into the jewelry business.
Yeah, and you start thinking about your career, and Tim came up and asked me and said, would you like to sit on the panel? I don't know if it was like, or he said, you will sit on the panel. But, when you start looking at your career, I started with, I wanted to be a manager and looking at how I want my career to progress. And at the time, I was managing what I call maintenance engineers or janitors. And it was a lot different when you manage that type of skill set. And I decided that, okay, in my career, it was going to be more technical. And so I started my career as a software developer for NASA, working in the shuttle program as well as in the F-16 flight simulators. Unfortunately, that got moved to Binghamton, New York, and I went to Binghamton, New York in the end of August, and the first September, the pond was already frozen. And I was from Texas, and that just ain't gonna happen. I said, okay, lay me off. I'll go find another job. So I went to a really small company. I was 12th person hired, and we grew it to 50, and failed to realize that it was owned by a company that went bankrupt. And at that point in time, my wife and I said, okay, we need to do something differently. And we kind of targeted what we wanted to see as a life goal or a career. And that's one of the things that when you start looking at it, some of the advice when you start looking at a career, what is it you want as your life goal? You don't want to put your career first. You want to put your life goal first. We moved up here. It was a week training class that I came up here, which turned into a 6-month contract, which turned into 26 years with Siemens. And the director of technical services, which really means that we help people and help people understand our technology and how we do business. The Lord's blessed us with 4 kids. One of the advice that I'm going to give is that, you don't force them to do what you do. But all of them are technical. Most, in fact, 3 of them have an engineering degree and 1 has a math degree. And I'm really proud of what they are and who they've become. They're all over the place, but it just gives us a chance to be able to go across the country to see them as well. And I think, as Dempsey said, my wife is a big part of who we are and what we've done. I thank her for being supportive. I know that when I was in software in school, I'd have a particular problem with one of the code examples, and I'd sit down and she would just listen to me. She had no idea what I was saying, but she would listen to me, and I'd usually find my problem when we did that. So it's been good. Johnson City is kind of the career, the lifestyle and the career that's been given to me. So, and we'll talk more about, as we start to look at careers, some advice that we can give you. No, you don't need that.
I'll be very brief. I think I'll say a few things about myself. First of all, I want to thank my wife. Some of you know my wife and say, well, he's the only one that didn't mention you. The other guys mentioned their wives, and obviously we all collectively thank our wives, don't we, men, for the blessing they are to our lives. How many people here have changed careers at some point in your life? Can you hear me? Okay. I don't think it liked my pocket very well. So I began thinking I would be a businessman and was educated for that, have an accounting degree. My dad was an elder in the church for 35 years and raised to love the Lord, and so very involved congregationally from the time I was very small. Never dreamed that I would preach. Never dreamed that would be the case. But as time went on and you began to be more involved and more involved, you think, well, you know, this maybe this is a possibility. Maybe this is something I need to look at. And so my wife and I prayed diligently about that. And at the age of 30, we went back to school, got a graduate degree in Bible, as Brother William Woodson was starting the graduate program at Lipscomb. What an awesome thing to be under his tutelage, if you know knew Brother Woodson. What a great man. But anyway, began to preach at that period of time, later than many guys would start. And this is something I want to emphasize to everybody, but it was exactly the right time for me. Okay? That's one thing I think for all of us. While we try to influence each other and help each other, well, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. You know what? Everybody's got their own timing and their own circumstances and just needs to be nurtured to find their own particular path at their own particular time and their own particular way, as long as God is at the center of all of that. But then preached at East Bristol in this area. Privileged to be back in the area today for about 11 and a half years. And then was in on the ground floor of helping start a congregation in Fort Mill, South Carolina, the Gold Hill Road congregation. Was there for 23 years. And so I am now in retirement from full-time work, living in Middle Tennessee, but still involved and still active doing things like this. Whatever opportunities provide for themselves, I'm happy to do that. But so that's basically my story briefly. Dempsey. Question, and we're not going to get to all these, but we'll cover what we can. If you could go back in time and speak with your younger self, what advice would you give?
There's probably two or three things that I would change, but there's not a lot I would change. But one of the things that I would definitely change from the very start would be to give God the credit. Very often in what I thought was my talent and being able to work with my hands and repair jewelry, and I feel like I was pretty good at it. And customers would come in and I would deliver a ring or something to them that I had worked hard on and made it look really good. And they say, man, that looks good. I'd say, I'm lucky. And I would say, I'm lucky. I wish I had never said that. I wish I had said I'm blessed. And God gives us all a talent, and I think we're to use it to our best of our abilities, but I think we need to give God the glory for that talent. And in doing so, I think you would open more doors than by saying, I'm lucky. I know you will. But that's one of the things that I would go back and change if I could. In those early years of developing our business, I would say that. I would say, God has blessed me so richly with this talent. I would also like to change a couple things in that I would spend more time with my family. Many times I was working a lot of hours, and I know a lot of you work a lot of hours, and sometimes it's necessary. But there was a lot of times that I would spend far more time away from my family in my early years than I should have, and I wish I had learned to, and here's the third point, I wish I had learned to delegate more. So I wish I had given God the more glory, I wish I had spent more time with my family, and I wish I had learned how to delegate my time better and let others be more of a part rather than thinking you need to do it all, or I needed to do it all, or nobody's going to be able to do that quite as good as I could, or what. But those are some of the things that I would go back and change. Any discussion on that?
You know, the thing that comes to mind for me is that in my early career, you don't realize how much influence you have. And being able to stand up and know who you are and whose you are has a big influence on people. They watch you. And they look at you, and even though you may be young, you do have influence in the workforce.
I think all I'd say to that is, if I could speak to my younger self, I would say, really enjoy the process and invest your time wisely, because life really is like a vapor and appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. I mean, that's a principle of scripture that we know. But as we've all gotten older, guys, I mean, I saw a lot of heads going, yes. You know, so don't waste your time, young man, is what I would say, but rather really be enjoying the investment of yourself in good, holy things. All right, Ren, how does one develop constructive working relationships with those who do not share your faith and values?
You know, when I start looking at this question, when you proposed it earlier, you know, working for Siemens, it's not known for its Christianity. We have 145 different countries that we work in, and we have all different types of religion and faith. And how do you stand out, and how do you build that relationship with people that don't believe what you believe in? And I think there's some core things that we look at. You know, in Romans 8, it talks about all things work together for the good of those who love God. And having a true and faithful relationship with the Lord, your colleagues are going to know that. And in 1 Colossians, we're talking about, in 11, imitate Christ. And doing so, that helps you to build that trust. And the trust is the key factor, I believe. And how do you build that? You have to be careful with your words. Understand that there's a commitment that you can make. And when you do, and you make those commitments, deliver on those commitments. Have a mutual respect for each other. And schedule time to build those relationships. They may not believe in your faith and what you're doing, but you can influence them with trust. I think there also needs to be understanding of skills and people skills. Everybody's not the same. You know, I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, and Jimmy Johnson basically came in one time and said, how do you motivate people? And he said, you can't treat everybody the same, and that is so true. You know, so you have to understand people, and you have to understand what motivates them and how to work with them. I think some key aspects is be positive. Nobody likes to be around a negative person. You need to listen and actively listen. They want to know that you care. You need to appreciate and respect others. When you give praise to somebody that's done a good job, it goes a long ways. And I think also you need to establish your boundaries and what you will do and what you won't do. That's so important. There's a line in the sand that you draw, and you won't go beyond that line. And there's times when you're asked to do something that you're not going to be comfortable with, you know, staying out late, doing things that you shouldn't do. And that line has to be understood by everybody around you, and that'll help you in your working relationship as well. Any other thoughts?
Anything, Dempsey?
Only thing that comes to my mind that kind of repeats what Ren began to talk about is you cannot like something and nor will you ever love something that you don't know anything about. So the better relationships that you build with someone, or that's what I like to refer to as friendship evangelism. And when you become friends, or you begin to build a relationship with somebody, you're a whole lot more apt to be able to talk to them about the gospel than if you had never done that. So build those relationships, and I think it will help all of us in just about every area.
Briefly, I think, too, that we always remember, because if I could ask for a show of hands, I won't. But if I ask for a show of hands, how many people here have had somebody that you've worked with during your lifetime, maybe even now, that you almost have difficulty being in the room with? Well, we're all going to raise our hands at some point or another, because some people's personalities or life choices or whatever just couldn't be more polar opposite maybe than you. And so it is a challenge to be able to work through that. Just always remember that they are made in the image of God too. Maybe it's a marred one right now. Maybe it's not one that you're encouraging at all. But just remember that, and remember Jesus died for them. And then pray for them. That always puts a better context on your attitude toward them. As much as lies, oh, I've lived with this so many times, you have too, and I love that the Lord put it in Scripture for us. As much as lies or depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's what we can control, is what we can do. And that's important to remember. All right, a question for me. What are some career advancements or setbacks that can occur, and how do we deal with these moments? Well, the career advancements are usually good things. We would see them as that, being promoted into a new position, maybe more prestige, more position. Has anybody ever turned down more money? Hey, I'm going to double your salary. I'll take it. I mean, that would be our tendency, right? Without even knowing maybe the price to be paid for the doubling of your salary. But we also understand the Scriptures warn over and over and over and over about the deceitfulness of riches. So we have to be careful, even in our advancement, that we can handle spiritually the money that may come our direction. I don't know too many people who have turned down jobs because it paid too much. But boy, that really requires a huge amount of introspection to be able to examine that within ourselves. And as a preacher over the years, there's been a lot of people talk to me about a lot of topics. Sometimes at the front of the pew, on the front pew, when someone would respond to the invitation seeking prayer or restoration or something, and or maybe come by, can I come by the office and talk? All right, I'm retired from full-time preaching, and so for my entire full-time preaching life, no one ever has come to me with this particular point, and yet it is talked about as much as just about anything in Scripture. Brother Jeff, I'm really struggling with covetousness. You see, we don't think about that as a big deal. But I'm convinced hell will be populated by a number of people who did not navigate that well. And so when we're thinking about our careers, we have to think about that in relation to even the positive things, advancement. Okay, good. But what is the price to be paid, and what mindset do I need to have as those things occur? Now, from the other side, how do you handle being laid off? As a preacher, how do you handle being let go? Sometimes that doesn't go very well. And I'm not getting into anything out here, because I don't know any circumstances anywhere. I just know that sometimes that doesn't go well. A lot of hurt feelings take place on a lot of different sides. It's just important to remember that we are all God's, and that it's all His business, and that we ought to be the kind of people who would be mannerly, not only if we are laying off someone or releasing someone, or we're on the other end of the journey. Keep in mind, too, that heaven is the goal. It's not here. It's not the current job. It's not the next promotion. It's not the next congregation, even, from a preacher perspective. But it's heaven. And so whatever's going to help me go there is the thing that I need to deal with. But we need to deal with those emotional moments that come as best we can. Seek out those who've successfully done it and find good conversation with them. Dempsey, what are some of the advantages and or dangers of career success, and how can these be navigated?
I think obviously some of the dangers of fame is getting to where you lose sight of God. And I think about an athlete, or I think about someone who is just some country music star or whatever you want category you want to place them in, but they completely lose their focus, completely lose the target of life, and that of going to heaven and spending life in eternity. And that would be the biggest danger, I think, of in that respect. And again, I open up by saying I've never considered myself real successful, and I still don't, and I will one day when eternity begins and I'm able to spend eternity with heaven, then I will think that is real success. I've been very blessed to not only have my wife be a part of this business, but we are surrounded by a phenomenal team of workers that work with us, many of whom are members of the Lord's Church, and they encourage me each and every day that I'm able to go into the store and things I do. We've kind of built our business on two things, and that is magic and handshakes. And Colossians 3:17 says that, and no matter what all you do, do it in word or deed, do it to the best of your ability, giving God the thanks. And that is the magic. There's no magic in magic. There's magic in details. And for years, we used to have that on the back of our showcases or anywhere that the public could not see. We'd have that little saying, there's no magic in magic. The magic's in the details. And in handshakes, if you shake someone's hand and you say you're going to do something, do it. And those two things, I think, will help us keep ourselves humble, help us to not put ourselves to the point that maybe we esteem ourselves higher than others, but maybe just trying to lend out a helping hand. God has given us talents, each and every one of us. So search out what your talent is and do it to the best of your ability.
And I think the only thing that I would add to it, Dempsey, would be that, you know, as part of the dangers of your career and looking at it, you can get easily sucked into chasing a career. And it may not be the lifestyle you want. And I would encourage you to understand what is it that you want to try to do. And always keep the Lord in mind that this is something that will praise God, that you can praise Him, and you can give thanks to Him as well.
Ren, since you've got the microphone, how do we advise our children or grandchildren in choosing a career?
You know, I've been blessed with four children, and this is a difficult question because you want to lead them into a path that they can be their own person. And I think I would start with the end in mind. You know, you want them to do enjoyable work. In Ecclesiastes in 5, it talks about rejoice in the labor. This is a gift of God, for he will not dwell unduly in the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with a joyful heart. And there's a saying that comes in, is choose your work that you enjoy, and you'll never have to go to work a day in your life. So you have to be enjoying it. You have to have contentment. The other thing is just let your light shine in the workplace. People know who you are, and like I said before, they'll look at you and understand what you represent. And I think the other thing is, you know, as Christians, we want to establish the groundwork. You know, you want to look at your career and what's the purpose of your career. It's just not a job. It's something that you'll grow in and something that you'll strive and always learn to. And you're always learning. The other thing is when you choose your career, choose it that fits your life goals. If you want to work 40 hours a week and come home to your family, you probably don't want to be a doctor, right? Because they're gonna work, and they'll work more than 40, and you're on call all the time. So be careful about that. And you have to understand, you have to be realistic about the market of your career. You know, when you talk about money, don't undervalue money, but also don't love money. In other words, when you set your career, understand what you're doing and how the lifestyles you want, and understand the money that you're going to make, but don't let it rule you. I would also say that for a young person, you would have to understand that you need to build your hard skills. Whether you're a welder or a plumber or a software engineer, you have to build that hard skills. The softer skills will come later. And most people who want the softer skill are going to look for maturity and the age to be able to get and value that softer side of skills. And always trust in the Lord. You know, that's one thing when we started, when we moved to Johnson City, we had, because we didn't have anybody up here. My wife was 8 months pregnant when she moved up here, and we just said, this is what we're going to do for our family. So that's one of the things. And you know, in Proverbs, it talks in 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So trust in him and that your career, especially if you start to change your career. Some of the practical advices that you can give your children is understand their strengths and weaknesses. You know, if somebody's an extrovert, and likes to talk to people, maybe it's sales, right? If they're very detail oriented, maybe it's an engineer. If they're very supportive, maybe it's a nurse, as you start to look at their career. But then I would also say that they need to find a mentor. You may not be able to help them because that's not who you are, but there are people out there, especially within the church, that can help them and look at their path that they went down and see how their role within their work environment and what they may like or dislike. I'd encourage them to try different things, whether it's a business clubs, whether it's new hobbies or activities. That gives them a view of what they can do and what they're passionate about. And this is a hard one for me especially. Don't force your will on them. Don't lead them down the path that says that just because I'm an engineer, you need to be an engineer, right? And that's hard, and it's kind of funny because all my kids are technical, but it's how do you do that from that standpoint? So that's what I would say.
All right, let me mention one other thing. Our time's about up. We actually made it to the last question, guys. What are some of the things that should be considered before making a career change? There is a practical side to anger, and that's not connected to the point necessarily, but I just mention it for this reason. Sometimes we'll say, count to 10. What are we trying to do? We're trying to say, okay, don't react too quickly. Make sure you have thought about this. Make sure you've really contemplated your next word, your next statement. I think that's really important when it comes to a change in career. Maybe a change in career is what's needed. Maybe that's what's best. But also don't just jump out one day and say, well, I hate this job. I'm done. I'm going to become a whatever. All right, give it a little more thought than that, you know? Your wife may appreciate you giving that a little more thought than that. What'd you do today, honey? I quit my job. No! So just be careful. Be prayerful about that. Be obviously discuss your with. It's not just you. Some men make very selfish decisions. But you've got a wife, you've got children, you've got others that rely on you. So be careful about that. But at the same time, it's very pertinent to me right now as I'm transitioning into a retirement of sorts. A lot of people here have retired. When do I retire? What does that look like? And what will that be like? That's a whole nother thing that we don't think about maybe a lot. And I've got a big zero flashing at me, so I'm done. So I hope this has been somewhat useful, maybe something that was said somewhere by somebody hit in an area that's helpful, and I'm sure any of us would be happy to discuss further the things that we talked about, and I'm sure that Dempsey would love to sell you a ring. So anyway, thank you.